In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Several people went to visit St. Anthony the Great and began to discuss with him the soul and where it goes after its departure from the body. The very next night, St. Anthony heard a voice call to him saying, "Anthony, arise, come out from your cell and look." Indeed, St. Anthony the Great went out, for he knew what voices he should heed, says the text. And having lifted his gaze up to heaven, he saw the following vision. A tall and fearful creature, horrible in form, was standing straight up. His height seemed to reach up to the clouds, while a multitude of other small creatures flew around him as though they had wings. He would stretch out his hand, and some of these he prevented from flying, while others succeeded in passing by and flying higher, continuing on their path without obstruction. This immensely tall demon would grit his teeth over those who escaped him, but of the others he would rejoice over those who drew near and were knocked down. And then St. Anthony heard a voice, "Anthony, try to digest all that you've seen." And thereupon he cleared his mind and reflected on what he had seen. It was the passage of souls into heaven, and the immensely tall and frightening wild man who was standing was the devil, who despises the faithful. He takes hold of those who have been guilty of sins and tries to prevent them from passing. Those who did not in their lives heed his counsel, however, he cannot hold. And for this reason, such persons succeed in soaring above him and making their way to heaven. Brothers and sisters, we have many counselors in life. One of our most persistent counselors is the devil and his angels, the one whom we renounced at our baptism. He always has something to tell us. He always has suggestions for us as to how we should live. St. Anthony knew what voices he should listen to and what voices he should not listen to. He listened to the voice of God, of conscience, and of truth, and not that of his enemies. In the vision, the devil could not detain from heaven those who had not heeded his counsel, who had not listened to the devil in their earthly life. He could not prevent those who had listened to the voice of heaven from going to heaven. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. Proverbs 14. He who despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who respects the commandment will be rewarded. Proverbs 13. In another story from the Desert Father, another great one, St. Macarius the Great. St. Macarius tells a story that once while I was walking in the desert, I found a lifeless skull on the ground. I pushed it lightly with my staff, and to my amazement, I heard a voice from this skull. So bravely and without fear, I asked the skull, "You, who are you?" The skull answered me as though it were a living person. "I was a high priest of the pagan gods and Greeks who once lived near this place. And you are Macarius, a man of the spirit. Take note then that any time that you take pity on those in hell and pray for them, they receive some comfort." Father Macarius once more questioned the skull, "What is the nature of this comfort, and what is hell like?" And the skull answered, "As far as heaven is from the earth, such is the depth of the fire below us. In that fire we stand upright, entirely buried in it. We are so situated that one of the damned cannot see the other, but only his back. But when you pray for us, we are able to see one another's face for a moment. This, then, is the comfort which we experience." St. Macarius, on hearing this, sighed deeply and said, "Alas, such misfortune does the day of his birth bring upon a sinner, that it is better, as the Lord said of Judas the betrayer, had he not been born." After speaking to himself in this way, the elder once again posed a question to the skull. Are there in hell other torments that are worse than those which you have described? And it answered, below us there are even more frightfully hellish things. And who is punished there? The elder asked. We, in the end, enjoyed to some extent the mercy of God, since we did not know him. Those, however, who knew God and despite this denied him, are below us and suffer far more hellish torments. This exchange having come to an end, the elder took the skull, buried it beneath the soil, and went on his way. And the text from this, the Evergetinus, says, Let us heed and fear all that this story tells us. For if those who deny God suffer more greatly in hell than unbelievers, we must take care not to deny God by works of darkness, that we might flee this fearful punishment. The denier of God is not just one who rejects him in word and deed, but anyone who commits sinful acts, even if with his words he seems to confess faith in God. And a witness to the fact that what I say is true is the Apostle Paul when he proclaims, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Titus 1, verse 16. It is the Sunday of the Last Judgment. There is, as we've heard, a particular judgment at the time of our death, and then a final judgment of all when Christ returns. The only righteous judge, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became man, who walked in our shoes, who lived our life, he will be the judge. He will judge, as he has rightly been worthy to judge. He says to us, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. He says, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him in his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? Brothers and sisters, what is that fire to be kindled? Either we are kindling the fires of hell now, or the fire of the love of God. Which fire burns within us? Which fire? This life, a priest said, is either a foretaste of heaven or a foretaste of hell. C.S. Lewis said, ultimately there are only two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. Those who insist on wanting their portion in this life, whose portion is of the world, as the psalm says, to have it their way, who have their hearts intent on pursuing the kingdom of this world, and ignore or deny the world to come, they will have their will. Their denial of God in this life will be affirmed in the next. So, brothers and sisters, it's time to catch ourselves. It's time to clear away the noise of this world. It's time to clear our minds of the voice of the evil counselor who has so much to say to us. And to want again life according to God. Life on fire for the Lord. We are the servant whom much is given. The treasures of holy orthodoxy, the knowledge of the truth of God, the true way of God, uncluttered and unchanged by the traditions and precepts of men, the original Christian faith. And therefore, we are the servant of whom much is required. Of whom much is required. And narrow is the way that leads to life. St. Ignatius Brancheninov said, nothing and no one can snatch out of God's hands a soul dedicated to His service. For God gives to such a soul for the time of its earthly pilgrimage a narrow path, paved with diverse sorrows and deprivations, because it is impossible to come to God along a broad way. Narrow is the way. God gives us troubles in order to help us to remember that this isn't heaven, this isn't paradise. We are meant to live for God. Enough of life according to me and my will, which are dead ends. Let us walk the narrow road of Lent that leads us to life renewed in the Lord. Let us desire again a life lived according to God and according to His holy will for us. Again from Proverbs, I keep the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of His truth. That's His desire. He desires that not one would go to hell. Not one would be lost. Not one would be rejected. It's only those who reject Him that find their way into the darkness. Let us, brothers and sisters, run to the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. Amen.